Today's reading is taken from the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel. We're looking at verses 1 through 13. And it's entitled, The Parable of the Dishonest Manager. He also said to the disciples, There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, What shall I do? Since my master is taking the management away from me. I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, How much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, How much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, Take your bill, and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Amen.
Thanks, Andy, for reading God's word to us. Now, this week, I was really tempted to swap sermons. I'm preaching this morning. Paul's preaching tonight. He's continuing our I Am series. Come back at 7 o'clock. But I was really tempted, Paul, to swap the sermon, so you had to preach on this passage, and I got to preach your topic this evening. In fact, Andy knew what I was speaking on this morning because I'd given him the reading in advance, and his words to me were, wow, that's a hard passage to preach on. Last week's was a really famous parable. We were in the previous chapter, the parable of the prodigal son. Everybody knows that parable, and it's very well known, and it's really straightforward to preach on. The point is very clear, and it's very obvious. This week's is a very unfamiliar passage, and it's an extremely difficult passage. It's one that people skip over. So maybe you're reading this, your daily readings, you come to Luke 16, you read it. There's a few things in it that just don't sound right. Did Jesus really say that? What did he mean there? Not sure. So you just skip on past, and you don't really put too much thought into it. I was tempted to skip over this parable this morning. On Monday morning, when I started to have a look at this, I thought, could we just not go down in this series? Let's pick another parable. It might be a little bit easier. And what encouraged me to think even more about skipping over this, I opened my commentary, some commentaries that help you study God's word. Some of the commentaries skipped over this passage as well. You know, prodigal son, boom, came in halfway down chapter 16. Or if they did make a comment on this, They just said some really bland, general things and didn't tackle the difficult verses as well. The problem is, the first time you read this, I don't know if you picked it up as Andy read it to you, it seems in some way that Jesus is commending dishonesty. It seems that he's praising, he's giving attention to a crooked manager who's fiddling the books. And you might read a passage like this and think, has this slipped into the Bible by mistake? How did this end up in here? Now, not everything in the Bible is easy to understand. I'm sure if you've spent any time in God's Word, you'll discover there are passages which are hard to grasp. We need to wrestle with them. What's the understanding? What is meant by this? But when you come to a difficult passage of Scripture, don't skip over it. That's the easy thing to do. That would have been easy for me at the start of this week to say, no, let's pick an easier parable to look at. That's why it's good to go systematically through God's Word, because you come to these difficult passages as well. And it's worth investing in these passages of Scripture. They're not a mistake. God has included them in Scripture, so they must be important to us. So let's spend the time trying to grasp what exactly is being taught. And just to summarize what is being taught here, I'll put it this way. In this parable, Jesus Christ uses a crooked man to teach some straight lessons. Let me say it again. Jesus Christ uses a crooked man to teach us some straight lessons. This parable is all about money. It's not the first parable we've looked at in this series which has been about money. A number of weeks ago, Paul preached on the parable of the rich fool. And some of you are sitting here at the moment going, not another parable on money. I don't want to listen. I don't want to be challenged about money again. But actually, if you go through Scripture, go through the Gospels, there's about 40 parables. And of the 40 parables that Jesus Christ taught his listeners, a third of them have to do with money and possessions. Get that? 40 parables Jesus taught, a third of them are to do with our money, our handling of money, and about possessions as well. So Jesus spoke a lot about money. So why the focus? Because it's a huge issue. It's a huge issue. In Jesus' day, 2,000 years later, it's still a huge issue. So let's think about yourselves. How often in the past week has money been part of your life? Has there been a day going by in the past week where money has not been of some issue to yourself? How often have you thought about money in the past week? Maybe even subconsciously, it didn't register with you, but you've thought about money. How many times in the past week have you used money? Coins in your pocket, notes in your wallet, if people actually carry money these days, swiped a card, gone online, done an online transaction, ordered stuff up for the Christmas shopping. How many times in the past week have you checked your bank balance? Maybe at the hole in the wall or gone online? How many times have you thought about money? But here's the other side to it. How many times in the past week have you been careless with money? Not thought enough about it? Just been careless in the way that you've handled your money? Because how we handle our money is a great insight into our spiritual lives. I'll repeat that again. How we handle our money, how we think about it, how we're careless with our money, it's a great insight into our spiritual lives. Last week we looked at the parable of the prodigal son. This is actually could be called the parable of the prodigal manager. The word prodigal means reckless and wasteful. That's what we find here. And the previous parable, the parable of the son, the prodigal son, was aimed at unbelievers. So when Jesus taught that, he had the Pharisees, the unbelievers, standing around him. This parable is aimed at a different audience. It's aimed at disciples. It's aimed at Jesus' followers. And we pick that up from verse 1. Look at the start of verse 1 again of 16. He also said to the disciples. So it's believers are his audience as he speaks here. And he tells a story all about a manager. And the role of a manager is to be a faithful steward, not of your own money, but a faithful steward of somebody else's money. And this manager was indeed a prodigal. He was reckless. He was wasteful, and we see that in verse 1 as well. He also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. We're not told how he was wasting the money and the possessions, but this man now faces the consequences, verse 2. And he called him, that's the rich man called him, and said to him, what is it this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And this manager, this prodigal manager, reckless man, he's been wasteful, hasn't thought about money carefully enough, he starts to panic because he's been used to a desk job. This is the kind of guy in a suit and a tie, sits behind a desk, works with money. And this is going to be ripped away from him. And look what goes through his mind, verse 3. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master has taken the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I'm too weak to dig. I'm a guy who's used to wearing a suit and a tie. I'm not going to go out and get a manual job to pay my way. And I'm too proud. I've had a good position. I'm too proud to go to my friends, my family, and start to beg for money, look for a handout. And so he starts to think. So at the start of the parable, he's been reckless. He's been careless with somebody else's money. Now that it's impacting him, he starts to be thoughtful. This is going through his mind. How can he get himself out of this situation? How can he plan for his future? How can he be wise in the handling of money? What he needs is a backup plan. He needs something to help him. And so for the first time, he starts to act wisely. And he starts to act very shrewdly. And he calls up people who owe his master. Maybe before he has to clear out his desk and come out of the office, he starts to call up people who owe his master, and he starts to renegotiate their loans. And it's a stroke of genius. It's crooked, but it's really, really clever. So he calls up the first man, and he says, how much do you owe my master? Whatever it is, cut it by 50%. Look at verses 5 and 6. So summoning his master's debtor, one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Now, that means nothing to us. We're talking about measures of oil here. What I'm told is that was the equivalent, the 50% cut was the equivalent of 3 years' worth of salary. 3 years' worth of salary and debt, take it off. I'm going to wipe it clean here and there. And then he calls in the next man and he takes a 20% cut off his loan payment, verse 7. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. This is how to buy friends and influence people. These people will think he's wonderful. He's cut this huge amount off these repayments. And that's his motive. He's using the money in a shrewd way to win influence. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 tells us his motive. I've decided what to do so that when I'm removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. People will think I'm great. I may have lost favor with my boss, but these people will look after me because I have helped them out financially. Someone who was once careless is now acting very shrewdly, and he's investing in his own future. But will he not get in trouble with this? Will his boss not pull him up for this? Will his boss not say, look what you've done to my accounts. What you've done is you've acted inappropriately here. Is there no equivalent 2,000 years ago of financial services where you could report this man to? Could you not take him to the police and say, look what he's done to my account. He's basically stolen money off him. No, because here's the interesting bit. The bit that we don't get, because we're 2,000 years on, we don't understand the culture here. What would happen in those days is, say, Dave Ramsey wanted to borrow £100. I would give him £100, and he would have to pay it back to me. That would be the loan. But what I couldn't do is I couldn't charge Dave interest on the loan. It was illegal. If you go into the Old Testament Jewish laws, you could not charge somebody interest. But people being people always want to make money, don't they? So they want to loan £100. Dave needs £100. He's going to pay it back, but I want interest. So what you do is you ask for a payment in kind. So give me the £100, but give me some oil back as well on top of that. Give me some wheat back. So the oil and the wheat that's mentioned here is the interest. It's the illegal interest. And the master is all complicit in this as well. He's been giving out money. The manager's been managing it. They've been taking in this illegal interest as well. He can't run off to the religious rulers. He can't take this man to the authorities because he's going to have to put his hands up and say, I knew that this illegal dealing was happening all along. If you've ever seen the film The Shawshank Redemption, this is a kind of New Testament equivalent where somebody shrewdly handles money because he's investing in his own future. And he knows he'll get away with it. His boss cannot report him to the authorities. And what's his master? What's his boss's reaction? Even his master, the one who has lost out on some of these repayments, is forced to commend him. Even he has to stand back and go, that was good. That was very, very clever. Totally dishonest. Totally crooked, but he's acted very shrewdly. Look what he says in verse 8. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. But here's the bit that shocks people when you read this parable. It seems that Jesus Christ is also condoning this shrewd, crooked, dishonest behavior. Look at the rest of verse 8. This is Jesus Christ speaking. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. In other words, disciples, you could learn some lessons from these men. The way they think, their shrewdness. The way they think as they plan financially for the future. They're more shrewd than you. You could learn from them. What's Jesus saying here in this parable? Is Jesus saying we need to think in the same kind of way, that we need to handle money in the same kind of way? That's why people skip over this parable. How do we handle something like this? I've wrestled with this parable all this week. I think the way to handle this parable is to look, what is the focus? What's the point that Jesus is driving home? The focus for Jesus is shrewdness. It's not sinfulness. Because what do we know about the character of Jesus Christ, even from the rest of Scripture? Will Jesus ever condone sin? No, he will always condemn it. His focus is not on the man's sinfulness, but he's using a crooked man to teach us a straight lesson. There are things we can learn even from crooked men. This was a man at the start who was totally careless with money. He was reckless. He was a prodigal manager. And then as he thought about the future, and as he planned for the future, he started to be thoughtful. He started to be wise, and he started to be shrewd. Wasn't careless, wasn't reckless. He was thoughtful and shrewd. Because the point of this parable is all about shrewdness. Because let's be honest, too many times believers, Christians, we can be very careless. We can be very careless in how we handle money and our attitude to money as well. And what Jesus is saying, we can learn some lessons. It's time to be more thoughtful, more shrewd, more wise in how we handle money. And this is what trips people up. They can't imagine Jesus Christ telling a crooked story to teach a straight lesson. But when it comes to handling money, this godless, dishonest man put more thought, he put more effort into caring for his earthly life than often we believers put into caring for eternal matters, our future that will last. See, if you're a believer here this morning, if you're a Christian, you also have a master, don't you? We call Jesus Christ our Savior, we also call him our Lord. Jesus Christ is our Master. And everything we have comes as a gift from one above. We thought about that recently on our Thanksgiving Day. And one day we will give account to our Master. We'll give account for Master for all that we have done. All that we have done here on earth. And what we've done with what God has entrusted to each one of us as well. Let's examine our own lives. How often are we prodigal stewards? When it comes to handling the things that God, our Lord, Master, has entrusted to us, how often are we just careless? Are we reckless? No planning for future, no planning for eternal matters, things that will last. See, our role as children of light, that's how Jesus put it. He put that in verse 8. He talks about sons of this world. That's just ordinary, sinful people like the man in the story. And then he compares it to sons of light, children of light. Our role as children of light is to act shrewdly and wisely. Not for dishonest gain. Not we're going to cook the books. Not we're going to be crooked. But we need to act shrewdly and wisely for eternal gain. But how do we do that? What does that look like? Well, thankfully, Jesus doesn't leave the parable there. He then goes on and tells us what that looks like in the life of a believer. And he gives some points of application, 3 points of application that follow on from verses 9 through to 13. So let's look at these 3 points that Jesus made. So he says, you've got to be shrewd. Shrewdness is the point of the parable. And he follows it up by saying, invest in eternal friends. Look at verse 9. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. This man in the story, the crooked man, used money to buy friends and influence people. He wanted a home, basically, after he lost his job. These people will look after me. So he invested in earthly friends. Used his money to buy earthly friends. But sadly, those friends won't last. Sure they won't. These men will be indebted to him maybe for a few years. You know, he saved me 3 years' salary, so I'm going to look after him for a number of years. But their indebtedness will wear off after a while. Those friends will come. Those friends will go. They won't last. But what does this verse tell us, verse 9? It tells us to make friends with unrighteous wealth. Now, that's a phrase that really sticks out. Whoa, what's that talking about? Make friends with unrighteous wealth. Does that mean, is that dodgy money? Is that, you know, corrupt kind of money? What does that mean? No. It's a phrase that trips people up. It's really just a phrase that describes money and possessions. Everything that's righteous will last. Everything that's righteous will be eternal. Everything that's unrighteous, like our money and our possessions, they'll all be burnt up. At the end of this age, our money will go, our possessions will go. It's unrighteous. It won't last. It's just temporary things. What's he say? He said, make friends with, temporary money. Use temporary money, but not to buy friends and influence people here that won't last. Use money to make eternal friends. Use money to make eternal friends. Shrewdly use money who will make friends who will one day, as this verse says, will receive you into eternal dwellings. Friends who will welcome you into heaven. In other words, you've got this unrighteous wealth, money that comes, goes, that you've burnt up. Use that money carefully. Use it wisely. Use the money, invest it, to make eternal friends, so that when you get to heaven, those are the people who will be there. Those are the friends that will last. Invest it in the people who you will meet again in eternity. What's the point of this verse? What's Jesus striking at here? Invest in others' eternal status. Invest in making eternal friends. Invest in things that will last for all eternity. Don't invest in things that will fail. Don't waste your time on stuff and belongings where Jesus said earlier where moss and rust will destroy. That's foolish. That's wasteful. All that stuff's just going to be burnt up. As you think about your money, be wise, be shrewd, and invest it in things and in people that will last for all eternity. So as believers, we're called to be shrewd. We're called to be good stewards of money, to invest in eternal futures and invest in making eternal friends. Now, how do you do that? What does that look like? Well, the best way to do that is to invest in gospel work. Invest in gospel work that will win people to Christ, win people to gospel, win eternal friends who will meet you in eternal dwellings, as the verse says. That's being wise. That's being shrewd. Those things won't be burnt up at the end. Those are the things that will last. Invest in mission. Invest in evangelism. Invest in people that will last. There's lots of opportunities to do that. We've been thinking about things in the past number of weeks here in the church with Baptist youth and Baptist missions, CAP, and just ministries within our church. Lots of ways to invest in eternal friends. Things that will last for all eternity. Here's the challenge. Here's the challenge to my heart. Here's the challenge to my bank balance. How do I use my money? Am I totally careless? Is my money just spent on temporary things that will all just be burnt up? Or am I shrewd? Am I wise in how I handle my money? Am I using my money to make eternal friends? As I use my money, am I gospel-minded? Am I eternally minded? Let's be honest. Most of us are just simply careless, living for the here and now. Things will just be burnt up. Now, we all need essentials. We need essentials to live here. We also need rest and relaxation. This is not a call to be a monk. You know, just put yourself off, wear some rough kind of clothes, just be totally ascetic. It's not a call for that. But what it is a call for is be shrewd, be thoughtful, be careful in how you handle your money. Invest in eternal friends. The second point of application that Jesus makes at the end of this parable is, be faithful with little things. Verses 10 to 12, let's read them again. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you've not been faithful with the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you've not been faithful with that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? To live as a follower of Jesus Christ is a big responsibility. It's a big responsibility to take the name of Christ and to live as one of his followers. And it's very important that in every aspect of your life that you are faithful. If you read through Scripture, God doesn't call us to be famous, spectacular, mega successful in the world's terms. What we are called to be is we're called to be faithful. Faithful to the ministries, the tasks, the responsibilities, the obedience that God has called us to be. We are to be faithful, and that includes our handling of money. And the point of these verses, verses 10 through to 12, is if you can't handle the little stuff, you're going to be untrustworthy with the big stuff. Let me say it again. If you can't handle the little stuff, the little amount of money you've got, you're going to be untrustworthy with the big stuff. And if we are deficient in handling ordinary things like money, how can we expect God to entrust us with true riches, as the verses here say? True riches. Yeah, there's riches that we think about are here on earth, money, temporary things. But it also says that there are true riches that God gives. Now, what are those true riches? It doesn't spell it out here specifically. Those true riches are the spiritual blessings that God gives. That's what God wants to bless us with. True spiritual riches. And if you're faithful in the little things, even handling your money, God will bless you with true spiritual blessings. That's what we need to be seeking. So how do we handle money? How we handle money, even handling the small things, is a real insight into our spiritual lives. What does God reward? He rewards faithfulness. Not with money. Okay, you've been faithful £100, have another £100. He gives us something even greater. He gives us true spiritual riches. Things that will be eternal. Things that will last. Things that won't be burnt up at the end. I wonder what our bank statement says about us. I wonder what my bank statement says about me. You mightn't have much money. You mightn't have much money in your bank account. But how you handle that little that you've given, says a lot. Have you been faithful with the small amount God has given you? Or have you been completely careless? Have you been completely reckless? Have you been wise and shrewd? Or totally clueless? Let's be faithful for the little things. Then the third point of application Jesus makes is, you cannot serve two masters. Verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. It's very simple. You can't serve God and money. You can't walk in two directions. I cannot walk in this direction, and I cannot walk in that direction at the same time. I can only do one. You cannot divide yourself, and your heart cannot be divided either. It's impossible. It's like trying to walk two directions at the same time. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. Money is a blessing. Money is a real blessing when it's your servant. Money's a blessing when it's your servant, but it destroys you when it's your master. Isn't that true? Money is a real blessing when it's your servant. It destroys you when you're master, when it's your master. So I said a few weeks ago in an evening service, I was talking about a very wealthy man I know, the wealthiest man I know, multimillionaire, very successful businessman. And what a godly man. Faithful with the small things, he's been faithful with the big things. And he uses his money very wisely, and he uses his money because he invests it in eternal things. And why is that? Because money is not his master. Money is his servant. God is his master. And because God is his master, he uses money wisely. That's the wealthiest man. It's the same for the poor, isn't it? You might have 2 pennies. You might have very little. You have very little money in your pocket, but money can still be your master. And even if you've got a small amount, make sure that God is your master and money instead is your servant. I wonder this morning as you think about that, who is your master? Who are you living for? What's your motivation in life? Is it God, putting him first, serving him? Or is it money, possessions, the job that will help you get those kind of things. So we rightly know money, materialism is the god of this age. But how do you stop money becoming an idol? How do you stop money becoming a master? I think there's a very straightforward way. Straightforward, not saying it's easy to do, but it's straightforward. How do you stop money becoming an idol? Be generous. Generosity is the help for that. Give your stuff away. Give your money away. What did Jesus say? It's more blessed to give than receive. C.T. Studd was a very famous missionary in China, Africa, different place, India as well. And he'd been a very successful sportsman, played cricket for England. But more importantly, in the eyes of many people, he came from a very wealthy family. Okay, this was the 1800s, but they were multimillionaires. He had all this money, and he used it for the furtherance of the gospel, gave his life not to pursuing more money, but to serving Christ and making eternal friends as he shared the gospel in these different continents of the world. And the most famous quotation credited to C.T. Studd, he said these words, "If Jesus Christ be God, and he died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." Why did you handle your money, all your wealth that you had in this way? If Jesus Christ is God and he died for me, he gave his all for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. And so he used his money as a servant to invest in eternal things. And that's a great challenge for each one of us. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you'll not understand this. You'll not understand anywhere where we're coming from. Why would you even think eternally like this here? Because if Jesus Christ is God and he died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. We sang that song before I got up to preach. My worth is not in what I own. It's possibly the first time we've sung it here. It's a great song written by the Gettys. Great song. And it talks about money. We don't want to be owned by money. And how does it describe Jesus Christ in that song? It describes him as the greatest treasure. That's who Jesus Christ is. You understand the gospel, what Christ has done for you in that great sacrifice. He is the greatest treasure. And when your heart is captivated by the greatest treasure, then you won't have two masters. You'll serve the Lord and you won't serve money. See, Jesus Christ used a crooked man to teach us straight lessons. Don't be careless, believers, with your money. Don't be thoughtless. Be shrewd, be wise, and invest for your future. Not a future that will pass like the man in the story, but an eternal future. Here this morning, we're all individuals here. We need to be thoughtful and careful and shrewd with our money. Are we living for eternal things? Are we investing in eternal friends? Does your giving, does your money, the way you handle it, save it, spend it, reflect that? Maybe you're here this morning, you're a teenager, you're a student at university, think, well, I'm a bit young for this, I don't really have much money. You're never too young to think about this subject, because you need to be faithful with the little things, and maybe that's you at the moment, you've got a little amount of money. Be faithful in the little things, start to give. Start to use your money for kingdom purposes. Handle your money wisely. Save it appropriately and carefully. And think eternally. As you learn to handle your small amounts of money, be shrewd and be wise. You're never too young to put these biblical lessons into place. You're never too young and you're never too late as well. Maybe you're sitting here and you think, I've been careless. I'd be ashamed if you had a look at my bank statement and the way I've been handling my money. Just totally careless, just spend it left, right. No thought, no plan, just everything's on stuff that we burnt up the last days here on earth. It's not going to last. I've just been totally careless because you're serving the wrong master. You're never too late. Today's a good day to start thinking shrewdly and wisely. This story is about a man, he was careless, came to his senses, started being shrewd. Pray for wisdom. Pray for God to guide you as you take responsibility of your money. If you're married, here's a good time to have a conversation with your spouse. Joanne will have an interesting conversation with me after this sermon, okay? I know nothing about her money. I'm useless with money, okay? She handles her money, and sometimes I joke about that. It's nothing to joke about, Peter. You've got to be wise. You've got to be shrewd with how you handle your money. And if you're a couple, It's one flesh. We talked about this in our marriage series earlier in the year. There's a lot to one flesh, more than just the physical side to it. One flesh is you're joined in all aspects of your life. And so there should be one flesh that even involves your finances. So you need to sit down with your spouse and say, well, how can we use our money wisely? How can we use our money carefully? How can we as a couple use our money to make eternal friends? Not just to invest in this world, but to invest in the world that comes. And if you're a couple with children, how can you teach your children godly lessons as well? Do we just throw money at our kids and we'll make them happy? You know, we'll buy them things. We're just careless and we're just teaching our children how to be careless and reckless and ungodly in the way they handle money? Or are we teaching children how to handle money with eternity in perspective? There's a challenge for us who are our parents. So we teach our children. They use money every day of the week. How they handle money is going to affect them every single day of their lives. How many times have we sat down spiritually, taught our children how to be careful, shrewd, and godly in how we handle money? We're lots of individuals here, but we're also a church. And we're a church that collects money and takes money. We as a church need to be wise and shrewd and careful in how we handle money. We pray for the leaders who have responsibility of doing that. We pray for Carl, our church treasurer. Pray for him. Pray for the deacons meeting on Thursday night as we sit around the table. And one of the things that normally comes up is there's needs, there's issues, there's supportive missionaries, there's these kind of things. We make decisions how we as a church use our money. Pray that as we handle the money of God's people in this congregation, we do it wisely and shrewdly and carefully, and we would invest in eternity. Pray for Carl as he handles the finance of the church. Go and have a conversation about it. Maybe you want to find out a bit more about finance and different things that you could support in the church. I'd love to have a conversation with you as well. And there's essentials that we need to pay as a church. We need to pay for insurance. We need to pay for things around the building. But pray that as a whole, our church, we would be generous. Be a generous church that we would invest in eternal issues. And we as God's people would invest in things that last. So let's take these biblical principles from a difficult parable with us this morning. Let's invest in eternal friends, things that last. Let's be faithful in the little things, not careless, but faithful. And remember, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot walk in two directions. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the challenge of your word as well. May it speak to your hearts. Help us to be shrewd and wise, not in a dishonest way for our own dishonest gain, but help us to be wise and shrewd because we want to handle all the good gifts that you've given to us. Help us to realize that this is a passing world. Help us to invest in eternal things, invest in people for eternity. And may we be faithful. And as we are faithful in the small things, may you bless us with true riches. Not the riches that this world labors for, but the riches that come from knowing Christ, from enjoying Christ, from obeying Christ, and being faithful to our Master. Help us to have you as our Master and nothing else in this world. Strip the idols from our hearts and help us to serve you and you alone. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen.